Okay, we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. I've never seen any other church, any other ministry do that. And you're like, oh, great, here goes the heresy road. But we're going to do something a little bit different. Somebody say three. Look at your number, neighbor, and tell them three. Now, three in your Bible is an important number. We see where many times the Bible uses numbers over and over to signify certain things. In your Bible, three, somebody say three. Three is a number of divine perfection or completion. Three is the number of persons in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three is the number of parts to who you are, created in the likeness and the image of God, spirit, soul, and body. There are three baptisms in the body of Christ. There is the baptism into Christ. There is baptism in water and baptism in the Holy Spirit. Thank God tonight. And so three is a number of completion. Now hang on to that and stick it in your pocket. Tonight, I don't want you to take notes. I don't even need you to open your Bible tonight, because I want you to zero in on what we're here for this evening. You'll have this on the app or on the website. You can go back and listen and take notes later. But tonight, I really want to focus on why we're here. And we came tonight because Friday is Good Friday. This is Passion Week. And so tonight, we're talking about the way of the cross. Somebody say the way of the cross. Now, God has called all of us to go the same way, not only to the cross, but through the cross, and to carry a cross with us, a personal cross, just like Jesus Christ did. He said, unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. You're not worthy of me. And so we've talked some about that over the past few weeks. But one of the most important things we can do, not only as a believer, but as a church, is to remember the shed blood and broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is what sits on this table tonight that unites us. It's because of what we celebrate this week that brings us together from all different walks of life, that although we're radically different because of what Jesus did, we can come together and be one because of the body and blood. Can you say amen? And I have tonight a tremendous expectation in my spirit for what God's about to do in this room and in your heart. And here's why. It's because where the blood of Jesus Christ is honored in faith and preaching, there the Holy Spirit works. And where He works, He always leads people to the blood. Where the blood of Christ is honored, the presence of God descends and miracles take place. So you've got to understand tonight that communion at Victory Church is not a ritual, it's a reality. It should never be dead, it should never be lifeless, but every time we do it, there should be a new facet of the incredible beauty of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Nothing renews our focus like communion. And so this is an opportunity for us to get our eyes off of everything else and get them on to Jesus Christ. I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 26. Verse 26 through 30, and it's the very first communion that was received as Jesus Christ Himself instituted the Lord's Supper. And it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Verse 28, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Verse 29. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That was the last time Jesus did this. He said, I'm going to wait till y'all to come to me and we'll do it again together. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank God for that. I think it's Revelation 19:9. Verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Somebody say three. Three is a number of divine perfection. The sacrifice Jesus made was a perfect sacrifice. It was a sacrifice that He made to perfect us. One sacrifice by one man on one Friday at one time that would forever perfect those who are being sanctified. That's you and that's me today. And so tonight, here's what we're going to do that's different. I'm going to preach on a particular facet of communion and what it means. And then we're going to sing a hymn and receive communion so you can focus on it. And then I'm going to preach on another facet of communion. And we're going to sing a hymn and you're going to partake of communion. And we're going to do it all over again three times. And when we walk out of here tonight, I believe that if you're sick in your body, that sickness has to leave in Jesus' name. I believe if there's any brokenness in your life, you will be whole when you walk out of here tonight. I believe in the power of the blood. I believe in what this represents. Are y'all ready tonight? Okay, let's go. Number one, communion is a reminder. Somebody say reminder. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Apostle Paul is recounting the same story I just read to you. And he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Whose body?
Mine.
Whose body?
Jesus.
Come on, everybody say it. Whose body was it? Jesus' body. "This is my body, which is broken for you." Who's it broken for?
Me.
Somebody say me.
Me.
"Do this in remembrance of me." Communion is a reminder. "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in whose blood?'"
Jesus.
"Jesus' blood. 'This do as often as you drink it.'" Who's drinking it?
Me.
"We are. 'In remembrance of me.'" Why do we take communion? Very simply, Steve, because communion is a regular reminder of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you and I, the ultimate sacrifice. I love what Paul says there. "Do this in remembrance of me." That's what Jesus told the disciples and told you and I to do. Now, there are two elements when it comes to communion. It's not a complicated dinner. It's not a five-course meal. There's only two parts. There is the bread. Somebody say bread. Somebody say bread.
Bread.
Thank God he's the living bread. Amen. He's the manna that came down from heaven. And those who eat of him will never die. He said, "Unless you eat my flesh, you have no part in me." The bread represents his body. What does the bread represent?
His body.
Paul said, repeating Jesus' word, that Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." There is a critical principle there, John, that we've got to hang on to. It was his body that was broken for you and for me. Okay? Don't overlook the simplicity of it. Isaiah 53, the prophet 400 to 700 years before the coming of Christ, declares this, so powerful, and he encapsulates and captures this truth that his body was broken for us. He says, "Surely he," who?
Jesus
"has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Verse 5, "But he," who?
Jesus
"was wounded for," somebody say, "my transgressions." He, who?
Jesus
"was bruised for my iniquities." That's my sins, my shortcomings, my failures, my crimes against heaven. "The chastisement for my peace was upon" who?
Jesus.
"On him," upon Jesus. "And by" who?
Jesus.
"Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on" who? "On Jesus the iniquity of us all." Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." That's what sits on this table. "Do this in remembrance of me." Don't forget what I'm about to go through in my body for your sake. Remember what I'm doing. Remember the price I'm paying. Here's why, church. Because if we forget, it changes the way we live. But when we remember, we walk every day with a new level of gratitude and love for our Lord and Savior that affects everything we do, say, and think. It was the body of Jesus Christ that bore my sin and my sicknesses at the cross, because he carried the curse. Why? To reverse it. And there at the cross, he became sin for me who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Who himself," who?
Jesus
"bore my sin in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were" what?
"Healed."
"You were healed. You were made whole. Peter is looking back at the cross. Isaiah is looking forward to it. Isaiah sees the day coming and he says, by his stripes you are healed. But Peter looks back and he says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. So if you are healed as a prophecy and you is healed as a fact, were healed as a fact, then you is healed tonight, church, in the name of Jesus. And so he says, this is my body broken for you. Here's the deal. Jesus didn't need his body broken for him. He didn't need to be healed. We did. He didn't need to be saved. I did. He didn't need to be delivered. We did. He didn't need to be made righteous. We did. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, not his own. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23 says, and you, somebody say, that's me. Somebody say, that's me. Yeah, you're in the right place tonight. Who once were alienated. You look at your neighbor and say, you were an alien. Yep. That's one time you're glad you got neglected on the other side. You who once were alienated. Look at your other neighbor and tell them, now you're the enemy. Aliens and enemies. You were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now he has reconciled. Somebody say reconciled. Reconciliation is a doctrinal and theological word that means to take from enemy to friend. That's what the blood of Jesus has done for us. Yet now he has, past tense, taken you from enemy to friend. Here's how he did it. Verse 22, in his own body, in the body of his flesh through death. Why did he do it? To present you holy. Somebody say, I'm holy. And blameless. Somebody say, I'm blameless. And above reproach in his sight. Somebody say, I'm above reproach in the sight of God because of the body of Jesus Christ. Secondly, tonight, the second portion of this meal is a cup. And that cup represents the blood. Somebody say, the blood. Now, here's where you got to stay with me, because blood turns some people off and some people can't handle the sight of blood. But let me tell you today that the life of the gospel is in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Victory Church is a bloody place. It's saturated and soaked in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. A gospel without the blood is a lifeless gospel. A gospel without the blood is a gospel void of its power. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Romans 5:8-9, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified means that God looks at you just as if you'd never sinned. He places you in right standing with him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. No matter how far from God you felt, when you got born again, it's because of the blood, Jason, that I am close to God. So close that he is living on the very inside of me. My body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen tonight? But I want you to hear me say this. We as a people and as a church can never forget the blood of Jesus. We can never remove the blood. The blood must stay in our music. The blood must stay in our conversation. The blood must stay in our preaching. The blood must be a part of everything we do. Everywhere we go, it's a part of my day. That's why I apply the blood over my life every day. I apply it over my wife every day. I apply it over my daughters every day. And I apply it over every one of you every single day, because Jesus is my Passover lamb. And if they applied the blood of a lamb in the Old Testament over the doorpost of their house, and death had to pass by, sickness had to pass by, disease had to pass by, insufficiency had to pass by, how much more when by faith I apply the blood of Jesus over my heart, over my home, premature death has to leave. Sickness cannot touch me. The devil is trespassing. There is a bloodline around this house, around your house, and around my house, and Satan can't penetrate it. Hallelujah. Say thank God for the blood tonight. watch this. It's through the blood that we have peace that passes all understanding. It's through the blood I'm washed whiter than snow. It's through the blood that I have access into the presence of God, free from guilt, free from shame, free from condemnation, free from unworthiness. It's the blood that didn't just cover my sin. This is no atonement. It is the blood that kicks sin out of my life, farther than the east is from the west, never to be reminded to me again by God, never to be remembered by God again. There is life and protection in the blood. Hallelujah. One drop. Do you see the drop on the end of that crown of thorns? Do you see that? Just wave at me if you can see it tonight. One drop. I want you to look at that one drop. There's enough power in one drop of the precious blood of Jesus to stop all the forces of hell, to stop Satan himself, to stop every demon horde. Thank God tonight for the blood of Jesus. There is life in the blood. There is salvation in the blood. There is healing in the blood. There is deliverance in the blood. There is victory in the blood. And Jesus said, remember what I'm about to do for you. This is my blood to give you a new covenant with new promises. Tonight, gentlemen, you can go and serve our congregation. And I want you to receive it. And tonight, at this moment, I want you to remember what the broken body and shed blood has done for you. Let's honor the Lord's sacrifice tonight.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, precious.
but the blood of Jesus. Somebody say, nothing but the blood. The second point tonight, you may be seated, when it comes to communion, that it's critical for us to understand is that communion is a point of contact. Somebody say, point of contact. Some of you may be familiar with this terminology and others of you have never heard of it, but communion is a point of contact. Say, point of contact. Throughout the Word of God, we see different points of contact, and God knows what you need. God knows that we're a people who need to see something. We need to hold something. We need to feel something. You know, I love it that Jesus didn't rebuke Thomas for what he needed to believe. He gave it to him, didn't he? That's good news tonight. Because no matter where you're at in your faith with God, God wants you to believe, and he will help you with that. But a point of contact is a powerful principle for us to understand when it comes to communion. And I'm just going to give you a couple for the sake of time tonight, about four points of contact that we see in the New Testament. One of them is laying on of hands. Somebody say laying on of hands. You see that practice here regularly. And Mark 16, verse 17, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. One of the things he said that the believer would have the authority to do, all believers, not just the apostles, not just pastors, not just evangelists or teachers or prophets or apostles, but every believer would have the power to do is lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen? They lay hands on the sick. You see that there? Very last thing. And they might recover. Is that what it says? No, it's not a trick Bible. They will recover. Now, we are a very touch-oriented people. We want to feel something. God knows that. But there is an impartation of power that comes through touch. Okay, Jesus taught us that. And every time we come together, I thank God that he lays his hand on our heart. But there is a time and a place and a moment for you to release your faith, for God to meet your need. That's what point of contact is all about. It's a moment in time, a place, where I take hold of something tangibly that I can feel, and I release my faith in God. Now, when I lay hands on people, there's nothing special about my hands. There's no magic in my hands. Amen? I have no healing power of myself. But as a believer, we become a vessel and a conduit through which God wants to carry on the mission, message, and ministry that Jesus Christ began. Even it was the power of the Holy Spirit that flowed through the life of Jesus Christ. Every miracle he performed, he did not do as the second person of the Trinity, but he did as a man filled by the power of the Spirit, walking under the Holy Spirit's influence, teaching us the life we could live when we come to him through faith in the Father. Hallelujah. Very powerful for us to grab hold of. So the second one tonight, point of contact, is anointing oil. And you see me use this in connection and others in the church in connection with the laying on of hands. James 5:14 makes very clear that if anyone among you is sick, Dylan, let him call for the elders of the church. Elders, if you want to be really specific about it, according to the New Testament, is the pastor or pastoral staff. Those who are doing the work of the Lord in full-time ministry for a living. But is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will, he didn't say might, save the sick. And the Lord will, not might, raise him up. So there's nothing magical about this oil. It's very simply olive oil. Amen? It wasn't something special that came from some fountain that was blessed by 16 saints and passed through some consecration process. There's nothing unique about this. I can anoint you and you can get healed from tumors and cancer and depression and disease. And I can also go home and pour it in a skillet and fry up some chicken. It is what it is. It's olive oil. Okay, so there's nothing special about it. What is special about it is what it represents. It represents, oil always represents the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So when I mark you with that, it represents the Holy Spirit's work upon and in your life, resurrecting you and driving out that defeat and death so that you can experience the power of God and victory in your life. That's what it's all about. So this is a point of contact. God gave it to us so that whenever we're sick in our bodies, we can call for people to pray for us. And when we're anointed with oil, it is a place and a time for me to release my faith in the healing power of God that He's going to meet a need in my life. Does that make sense to y'all tonight? Does it make sense to the other 160 of you? Okay, now there's a story in the Bible about a woman with the issue of blood. She had been sick in her body for 12 years. She'd gone to the doctors, done everything she could, spent all the money she had to get better. She got no better. She actually got worse. But she heard about Jesus, and she said, "If only I can touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made well." Now, there was a lot that was special about that hem that I don't have time to get into tonight. However, it was still thread at the end of the day, and it was not a lucky rabbit's foot. It had nothing in it to heal her body. But when she reached out and grabbed hold of it, an entire crowd was pressing against Jesus Christ all around Him. Everybody was touching Him. But when she touched Him, something happened. The Bible says healing power flowed out of her body. It dried up, and she instantly knew in herself that she was totally healed. Jesus turns around in the crowd and she says, "Who touched me?" The disciples say, "What are you talking about? Everybody is mauling you." I mean, you know how it is when John Wow goes to Tops and everybody comes screaming and they want him to autograph their babies. And they're rubbing him. Somebody get me a sanitary wipe. Sweaty, boy. But that's what was going on. But something happened. When she grabbed Jesus, it was a point of contact. Here's what happened. Her faith came together at a moment in time when she grabbed hold of it. At that moment, she released her faith in the God of the impossible. And something happened as heaven released supernatural strength we call the anointing. And it blew out of her body that sickness and disease. And it reversed the curse that came as a result of our sin. Can you say thank God tonight? So we have a point of contact. It's something we can have in our hand. Acts chapter 19 talks about the Apostle Paul, how God worked unusual miracles through him. They would even lay aprons on him, and they would take that apron from him and go give it to people who were possessed or sick that couldn't get to him. And the anointing was in that cloth, and it would drive that oppression out of their bodies and out of their minds, out of their lives, and God would set them free. Again, it was a point of contact. Communion now gives me a place and a time where I can take hold of something tangible and release my faith for a miracle. Communion is your point of contact with Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the only answer you need. Jesus is the answer to any question you have. He is the solution to any problem you face. And God has a table spread where the saints of God can be fed. And it is the communion table tonight. Thank God that we can come to it and have our needs met. Hallelujah. Amen. So, communion is not a ritual at this church. As I said before, it's a reality. But if you don't receive the elements by faith, they do you no good. They're not magic. We don't believe in transubstantiation. It does not actually become the body and the blood of Jesus Christ in your mouth. I don't even want to think about that. There's nothing in them of their own that has any power to help you. It's a little chiclet wafer and some grape juice that came from Tops. But it's what they represent, that when you put your faith in the symbol and what it represents, then all of a sudden the substance is released in your life. Taking communion does not make you a Christian. Any more than wearing a cross around your neck will put Christ in your heart. Or a bath, a bar of soap, and a ribbon make a pig a poodle. It don't work that way, does it? Amen? By faith. Larry, if you and the ushers would come again and prepare yourself. By faith, these symbols take on the substance of what they represent. So communion gives me a point of contact where I can exercise my faith at a moment in time and activate the power of His promises that were bought and paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. The promises of God are yes and amen. So that you can receive what you need. What you need. What you need. How many of you have a need tonight? You have a need, just wave at me if you want it answered. If you don't, keep it. You have a need? How many of you believe Jesus is the answer to that need? Come on, give him praise. I believe that. So here's what we're going to do. Get that need on your mind. There's a point of contact coming your way right now. Gentlemen, you can begin to make your way through the congregation. There's a point of contact coming your way right now. As you receive the body and the blood, I want you to release your faith for God to move and meet that need in your life. Not later, right now, just like with that woman with the issue of blood.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God
tonight. If you believe he's met that need, if you believe he's still able to do the impossible, thank you, Jesus, tonight. Thank you for meeting our needs. You may be seated. Number one, the purpose of communion is to remember. Number two, communion is a point of contact. It's a place where we connect with the power of God through the provision of the cross. God's best belongs to you right now, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what's in your past. not because of what you did, but because of what he did, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I am blessed today. I am free from the curse. I'm a child of God, and I have an inheritance thanks to what my big brother Jesus Christ did. He saw something in me worth saving. But third tonight, as we complete this circle, is that communion is a proclamation of two things. It's a proclamation of his death. Somebody say, he died. But you can't talk about his death unless you're going to talk about his resurrection. Because they go together. If he didn't raise from the dead, we wouldn't be talking about his death. He'd be an ordinary man. Died like every other man did, or other men. He wasn't the only one crucified, but he's the only one who went to the cross and got back up. And so communion is proclaiming his death. 1 Corinthians 11:26. For every time, watch what Jesus said. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, he told the apostle Paul, you are announcing the Lord's death. You know, every time you pick that cup up, and every time you put that bread in your mouth, you're preaching. Say, I'm a preacher. The day you break free from the professional preacher mentality, where you think you pay me to read the Bible, pray, and preach for you, is the day the kingdom of God explodes and people are running around like crazy going, I don't understand what just hit me. They turned that city upside down and now they come here too. Ministry doesn't start when service does. It starts when you leave. We're all in ministry. We're all preachers of the gospel. You got a message to tell and it needs to be heard. Everybody may not have time to get on one of these. But guess what? You have a bigger pulpit every single day. You know people that I don't know. Everywhere you live, work, and play, you're connecting with people every day. God's put in your path for one reason, for you to shine your light and shake your salt on. He said, you are announcing the Lord's death. You are announcing, 1 Corinthians 11:26, you are announcing the Lord's death. But here's the kicker. Till he comes again. Jesus is coming again. The generation that forgets that is a generation that does not accomplish anything for the kingdom of God. We must live our life like today is the last day. We must leave nothing on the table. We must use everything he's given us in our hands and in our lives. Every blessing that's come through our fingers must be available to win the lost with the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. What does he treasure? What really is the treasure I lay up in heaven? I can't take nothing else with me except one thing, and that's people. He treasures people. He's coming again, church. And every generation that embraced the reality that Jesus was coming back. The first century church thought he was coming back. Jack, they thought it was an any second proposition. When they saw him go to heaven and the angel said, this Jesus you saw go will so shall come in like manner. They thought it was any day. They raced out to do everything they could to share Jesus with everybody they knew. Good grief, 8,000 people were born again in Jerusalem like that. Revival begins to happen, not in dead people, in believers. And in the house of God, when you get a grip on the reality that Jesus is coming again. He's coming back for us. He's coming back for his church. He's coming. Somebody say he's coming. Look at your neighbor and tell him he's coming. He's coming for you. He's coming again. He's coming. He's coming like a thief in the night. He's coming. He's coming like a lightning bolt. He's coming. He's coming looking for a people who are looking for him. He's coming back. He's coming for a people that look like him. He's coming again. He's coming for a people that are living for him. He's coming again. He's looking for people living with their eyes on the skies and hope in their heart, who have not laid up their treasure on this earth, but are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, who understand that I was created for eternity, Dale, and I'm nothing more than a pilgrim passing through. I came into this life with nothing, and if I leave it the same way, I still broke even. But Jesus is coming. I'll meet him in the sky, or I'll meet him when I die. But either way, I'm going to stand face to face with my Lord and Savior. The Apostle Paul writes, "For the Lord himself, not some other Jesus, our Jesus, will descend from heaven with a shout." Hey! A shout with the voice of an archangel. "Sing to me, Gabriel." And with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and have that heavenly hoedown. And thus we shall always, always and forevermore, for all eternity, never to be separated again, be with the Lord. Be with Jesus. Be with the Alpha. Be with the Omega. Be with my beginning. Be with the one who will be my end. Be with the author of life. Be with the resurrection. Hallelujah. Thank God today he's coming again. And when that trumpet blows and he shouts, "Come and get it. Ding, 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 ding. I'm not missing that meal, Dan. I'm going to be there," because the Bible says, "Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Look at your neighbor and say, "Are you going to that meal?" Larry, would you and the ushers come again one more time? I'm telling you, church, we got something to be excited about. You got a reason to live. I don't care what kind of hell you're going through today. I don't care what the devil is trying to do in your life. You have a living hope. Jesus is coming back. He's coming for you. If you've been washed in the blood, it's already secured. The deal is already sealed. He's given you the Holy Spirit in your heart. Fear not, child of God. Lift your head. Raise the corners of your mouth. Smile again, hallelujah. For Jesus is coming again, and he's coming for you, and he's coming for me. Somebody say, "I'm a preacher." Say, "I'm a preacher." Come on, say it. Spit on your neighbor and say, "I'm a preacher." Don't spit on them. I got to lay hands on them then. One of the ladies that came in today to help us with communion. Never mind. So I got you thinking now. But here's the deal. You tell Bose the Lord's death until he comes. Every time we take it, watch this, watch this, watch this. Every time we take it, here's what we're saying. Not only have I believed this, not only do I believe he died, not only do I believe he rose again, not only do I believe he's coming back, but I haven't forgotten it. I stand for these truths. This is what I hold dear. This is what's precious for me. This is what I live for. This is what I'm willing to die for. In him I live and I move and I have my being. This is what we stand for. This is why we're here. This is who Victory Church is. This is the DNA of this ministry, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ that was broken and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank God tonight that we can declare he died and he rose again and he's coming back. Hallelujah. May serve the
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
just worship him in your own words. Maybe in that spiritual prayer language, in English, just worship him. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah to you, Jesus. Lord, I love us. Love you so much. It was about this time of year, 16 years ago, that I walked into a church, toe up from the flow up. I was a mess. I was at the lowest point of my life. But I met a God who loved me and saw something in me worth saving. And he received me into his family. And he filled me with his Holy Spirit. And he set me on a new path, Maria. My life has never been the same. Let me just ask this question. Is there somebody here tonight, maybe every time that plate went by, you just passed? Because you felt like something in my life, it's just not right. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here tonight, you're like me. You came in and you know you're far from God. Friend, he's a whole lot closer than you think. That's what I found out after the fact. All I had to do was call on his name and he was there. I'm not going to go on and on about it, but if that's you, you know who you are. While everybody else has their head bowed, would you just raise your hand and wave at me? You can be ready for his return if you're not. Just with one hand up, would you just wave at me where I can see you? Just a second longer. Five. 4, 3, 2, 1. Would everybody look me in the eyes? It is the greatest privilege of mine to serve in Marcia as the shepherd of your souls. Do me a favor. I don't want to see anybody in this room miss his return. Will you please live ready? Every day of your life, live a clean life. Live a repentant life. If you sin, get it under the blood as fast as you can. Don't run from God, run to him. He loves you and only he can fix it. Sin will never fill the hole or take away the hurt. Jesus can, I promise you. Because I was one screwed up duck. Marcia, tell you I still am. Jesus made me whole. Amen.